What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. We've done the Week 8 preview. We've gone through all the games, but I had to bring in on the pro, our lead analyst here at QB List, to help us go through some of these start decisions, because it's bipocalypse, it's National Tight End Week, and we need a little help. Jay, how are you doing today?
It's apparently a Rondo Gadsden week as well, as we're watching, recording this during the game, and what, just came down with a 40-yarder or something along those lines, I think you said?
Yeah, he's already over 100 yards at the time of this recording, and all we can realize is we did not have him high enough in the ranks.
Exactly.
Goodness. And I didn't start him in enough places. I was like, no way, I'm double flexing tight ends. No way, I should have.
Yep. Yeah, but the second you do, then he's going to go 3 for 30, and then that's about it. So, one of those things. You actually, you did this for all the Rondo Gadsden owners out there. You did that for them, because if you would have started him, this wouldn't happen.
Folks, the things we do for y'all. The things we do for y'all. But yeah, we're just a little detailed dive here. The things that Nick and I didn't get to in the start sit, we're going to go over a handful of these questions, because I've got some bleak starters. I've got some I'm down bad. I am down bad at running back, just between the bye weeks and injuries. It's ugly. I guess just looking at quarterback here, I don't think there's a whole lot of questions. I think the top 12 are pretty lined up. So looking at guys below the consensus top 12, the Aaron Rodgers, the Jackson Darts, the Marcus Mariotas, do you have confidence in playing these fellas, like, you know, putting him in his top 12 plays for you, or are they more on that fringe?
I really don't want to play Marcus Mariota. I know he's played pretty decent in when he's played for Jaden Daniels so far this season, but going into Kansas City, Kansas City is, especially their defense, is just playing lights out right now. And I know they said Debo's probably going to play, Terry McLaurin's probably going to play, but these guys have been banged up, and Mariota didn't look that good against that, really, what was it, the Falcons that they played last, which we've come to find out the Falcons' defense is legit. So, I mean, you may not have a choice, especially, like you said, bye weeks, injuries, things of that nature. You may not have a choice, but if you do, I would prefer not to start Mariota this week.
Yeah, it's 12.5-point dogs in that game. I think what you're banking on is, what kind of magic do you get from Mariota in the fourth quarter? He does pretty well in garbage time. Yeah, he doesn't take his foot off the gas. He's willing to go out there and lose in horrible fashion. So I think we might get a little bit of I'm playing Mariota in more leagues than I want to, but it is with it's going to give you a pit in your stomach, especially in that Monday night game. Like, you might be depending on 14, 16, 18 points from your guy, and you're going to sweat it. Probably going to sweat it. Going into these running backs, I think this is where the questions really lie, because, like we said, it's byes. We have lots of teams out. We have six teams on bye this week. A lot to go through. Let's start with Carolina. They playing a Buffalo team, they're pretty good dogs in this one, but Buffalo, you can run all over. Like, for the most part, I'm starting Rico or Dowdle if I don't have the other. But say you're rocking a team, you're a Hubbard team, you picked up Rico Dowdle, who are you playing if you have to play one of the two?
I'm going to go with Dowdle. I think that he's last week he out-touched him. He out-produced him, 17 carries, 79 yards compared to 14. And Hubbard got just 31 yards on those 14. It's really, like I said, I think it's going to be that 50-50 ugly split. I would prefer not to, even if it was just Hubbard, I would really prefer, this week's different, like you said, against Buffalo, you can run all over them. They can probably put up some points against them, and especially with Bryce Young being hurt, they're going to probably lean on the run a lot more than they would normally with the Red Rocket under center. But back to your question, if I had both, actually, I am the guy in my home league wound up picking up Dowdle and has both of these guys, and I would go with Dowdle. And then while we hear what you have to say, I'll look and see what he currently has between the two of them. Is there any world you would start both of them going against Buffalo?
Ooh, it would be hard. I mean, it wouldn't feel great. I'd hope that people would have other options where you wouldn't have to play two running backs from the same team in a game script where they might be down. It's Andy Dalton. He has no problem throwing the ball 50 times in a game. So depending on what you're looking at, like if you've got those two players and Kyle Manunga, are you playing both the Carolina guys? Or are you putting in Kyle?
Ooh. That's a good one right there. I think I'm going to go Manungai. But that matchup, man, I would 100% play him over Hubbard. Dowdle might be tough because he can, as we saw, even with the split carries, he can still put up some numbers. Great matchup. I think I would still go Dowdle, but I would go Manungai over Hubbard.
Nice. Let's go to this Miami. going to this Miami and Atlanta game, Tyler Allgeier. I mean, you can do whatever you want to Miami. Like, there's nothing you can't do to this team. Allgeier, I've got him as he's an RB3 for me, but he's kind of higher end. If this game can get out of hand, he might take the fourth quarter, like, mostly himself. I think his line's at 40-ish yards. I love that over this week. But are you playing Allgeier or... Let's pair him up with Ramondre Stevenson in that nasty matchup against the Browns defense. Who would you rather play out of those two?
I feel personally attacked that you had to bring up Ramondre Stevenson as much as I love Travion Henderson. Man, that is a tough one. I think I'm actually going to go, might surprise you here. I think I'm still going to go Ramondre Stevenson just because the guy can do no wrong in the eyes of Mike Vrabel. And no matter the circumstance, no matter what happens in this game, he's going to get the touches. If they're going to score something, they're going to be around the goal line some. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him fall into the end zone. It might be a low yardage total, but I can see him getting into the end zone, getting a couple receptions. Allgeier, while we expect, 90% of the time, it's going to be exactly what we expect in this game, where Allgeier is going to get a bunch of run at the end of the game, but there's a chance that doesn't happen. So it's one of those things that I always hesitate to start guys based on a narrative, because as we've talked about many times before, how often has the most common sense narrative been quite the opposite of what actually happens on the field? So I'm perfectly comfortable starting Allgeier, but if I had the choice between the two, I would go with what I consider the more sure thing. Now, I will say, if it's going into a matchup as an underdog, I would go with Allgeier because there's a much higher upside there. But if you're looking just safer floor with a somewhat okay ceiling, Stevenson.
Let's go back to that Monday night game, because the running back situation there is ugly. We've got Bill on one side, and then the other we have Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, Breshard Smith. Where's the ranking on those four? Who do you have highest? Feel most comfortable playing?
I have Breshard Smith at 32. I have, I actually have Bill at 24, but I think I'm going to wind up changing that. I think I'm going to drop him down a little bit. That was when we were still unsure if Jaden Daniels was going to start or not. I have Pacheco at 23. I like the touches that he got last week. I know he's been one of the bigger disappointments, but over the past couple of weeks, he has started to get a little more run in this offense. And I know Kareem Hunt tweaked his ankle. I don't know if that is still lingering. As I checked this afternoon, I don't think it was that much of an issue.
As of 6 hours of here, he's in doubt of missing mispractice on Thursday. So,
he did miss practice. Okay, then.
That might clear things up a bit more than I think Pacheco has a little bit more ground to stand on as far as just his usage. At least he won't be splitting that up with Kareem Hunt. He would be the goal line guy. So I'd be willing to play Pacheco. I think I want Breshard Smith and Pacheco over Bill. Like, Bill is I'm about done with Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, and I got a lot of flack for it a couple weeks ago, but against the Chargers game, his blow-up game, yes. I mean, you give him credit. The guy took what was there, but the Chargers defense just, it was atrocious. And he basically walked into the end zone. Not that he did anything wrong, but everybody was, it's Bill season, league winner season and all that. And what we saw in that game is still happening. McNichols is still involved. Rodriguez is still involved. Rodriguez didn't do much of anything, but he got the touchdown. McNichols is getting the passing game work. So, I don't know if you saw on Reddit, apparently, as we talked about before, doing the start sit article, it's a lot of work. And sometimes, you know, as I'm moving notes around and stuff like that, things get mixed up. And I accidentally had in Bill's blurb that he had like 6 catches or something like that on 8 targets. And boy, did Reddit let me have it. My goodness, Reddit. If anybody from Fantasy Football Reddit is listening, I apologize. Just one of those things as going through all these. Sometimes notes gets mixed up and, you know, copy and paste in, moving things from one place to the other, and it must have happened. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think out of anybody on the Commanders, Bill would be the guy that I would want to start because he's getting the most consistent work. But he's not somebody I'm really looking to get into my lineup. I like Preshard Smith a lot, even though, you know, people were saying he got most of his rushing attempts in the fourth quarter after the game was blown out. But his passing game work was when this game was still, I guess, if it was ever still a game, but early in the game before they pulled the starters, I'm pretty sure he got all of his catches when the first team offense was on the field. So, you know, could we see a what's your take on Breshard Smith rest of the season? Do you think he's going to have one of those typical pass catching backs for the Chiefs that just go on a ridiculous Jerick McKinnon type run?
That's been the comparison since we got the training camp hype this past July. It's been the, oh, this could be the McKinnon. This could be the McKinnon of a few years ago. And I don't, that would be the role he'd fall into, but I think we need to temper expectations a bit. Again, this is a 7th round running back. I know Pacheco is too, but that just means even more to me that this might not happen. Kroski right. Merritt, another 7th. Like, we got 7th round running backs out the wazoo here. Right. But I do like Breshard Smith, his talent he brings to it. You know, he used to be a wide receiver, so you're going to see that kind of work there for him. I'm willing to play him. I think he's the most exciting out of this. Again, if Hunt doesn't play, Pacheco is a lot more, I think he's a lot safer. But Breshard Smith, they're going to get these rookies more involved, and I think that's great opportunity for him, especially if they're in garbage time.
Yeah. One thing too, a couple of years ago, you know, that this Kansas City Chiefs offense wasn't pushing the ball downfield like they are now. Mm-hmm. You know, that could take away some of the opportunities, not anything drastic, but just one more little chink in the armor to, you know, like you said, he's not going to, even if he is in that McKinnon role, doesn't mean he's going to have that type of production.
Woody Marks, rookie Woody Marks, found himself in the end zone this past week. Very, very tough game. Both sides of the ball were pretty ugly. And honestly, they're going up against a team that had a similar matchup. You know, San Francisco and Atlanta, another dud game. We didn't get a lot of fantasy points from these four teams across the two games. But Woody Marks, he's coming in again, another high-end RB3 for me. Does he give you more, like, you know, Algier, Bill, Woody Marks, Pollard? Like, how are you looking at, like, would Woody be the top start out of those four guys for you?
I want no part of Pollard. I really want no part of that offense, especially now, the backfield, especially with, you know, since Tajay Spears has come back, it's basically been a split where making both sides completely worthless in fantasy. You said Bill, you said Algier, and who was the other one? Oh, Woody Marks. Yeah, I think it would be between Algier and Woody Marks. Same. And I think I would probably go, well, I was going to say Algier, but with Nico Collins likely out, I mean, CJ Stroud's going to be looking for somebody to throw the ball to. So I think that might lean my hand towards Woody Marks.
That one does give me a little bit more excitement just because he is the pass catching specialist in the backfield. I mean, come on, Nick Chubb back in the day, maybe, but we're not talking about it anymore. You know,
I love Nick Chubb. He's a great dude. He won me a lot of games, but he's not Nick Chubb of 2022-23.
Yeah. He may only be 29, but those legs, they're much older. He's got some wear and tear. So Woody Marks, I think in the right game script, he does have a little bit more appeal. I mean, Denver and Dallas have a huge over-under. This game should be a shootout. RJ Harvey, are we at that point where we're looking that direction, or is this still you're holding him as a handcuff?
I'd be willing to, especially with the amount of guys that are on a bye this week, I would be fine with throwing in RJ Harvey as a flex. It's just one of those, you know, you have to go in with the mentality that there's a chance he could get you 3 points, you know, with the over under what it is. Like, he could have a 20 plus point game, but as long as you're willing to accept that volatility and just understand, you know, legit could get you 3-4 points. So, but I think that's the type of game that you attack those guys, where there's multiple ways that you could see them coming out with a solid game. And number one, you know, being I believe that's the only game with implied total over 50 as of when I checked last night. I'm hoping a lot of points there. Try to stop talking as you were taking a sip of water over there.
All good. Alvin Kamara, we saw Kendre Miller tear the ACL, unfortunately. But Alvin Kamara, we've got Devin Neal, the rookie out of Kansas that everybody's looking at as would be the handcuff there. But Kamara, it's not the easiest matchup. You know, you got Vita Vea, they're constantly plugging it up. Kamara has not been the ceiling play of usual. You probably don't have a better pivot point than Kamara, but maybe you're in a 10-team league and you're possibly looking at, like, Kamara or Dowdle?
Going Dowdle.
I think I am, too.
I think with Miller being gone, it's like you said, Kamara is he's just not done anything this year. And I think Miller being out slightly raises his floor from 0 to maybe like 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, he's just, I love the guy. He's, you know, he's been a stud for however many years, and good on him for being loyal and wanting to stay in New Orleans. Like, more power to him there, but for fantasy, that's not what you want to hear. It's always been the passing work, and he's been good enough on the ground, but now he's taking a step back in with his efficiency on the ground, and he's not getting that passing work. It's a bad offense.
Yeah, it's, I mean, 1 yard, 45 receiving yards 2 weeks ago, but then outside of that, 28, 2, 14, 12, 21. So in a PPR league, I get a little bit more confidence in him. But yeah, like, the yardage total is just not there for Kamara. And it hurts. It hurts to see that the sun could be setting on so many of these guys that we've leaned on. You know, the Nick Chubbs, the Alvin Kamaras. What's that saying? What am I, 34? Just turned 34?
Okay, so you're not too far behind me. I'm up to 39 next month. I was going to say, I'm at that stage where those guys are now going into the Hall of Fame. These guys that are in there, like the CC Sabathias and baseball, and just like, it goes in stages. And I don't know if you're at the Hall of Fame point yet, but yeah, like, you know, when, for me, it was LaDainian Tomlinson and the Brian
Ricky
Westbrook
Williams, man, Marshall Faulk. I loved me. I had just the big, like, NFL Street was my game in middle school. Yes. Like, Marshall Faulk and Ricky Williams were the guys. Like, the man. Oh, loved it.
NFL Street 2, Jeremy Shockey was unstoppable in that game.
Dude, why haven't they remade those games? Why have they not brought them back?
It's easy. Like, it's basically printing money. Like, those would absolutely kill.
Treat it like Madden. I don't care. Give me the same game. Just give it so it's compatible on my PS5. Yeah, like, I don't care.
Do the ultimate team. Dude, they do ultimate team with NFL Street.
They can leave the 2004 rosters too, for all I care. Like,
honestly, I would prefer it.
No, man, that would be kidding.
We need to write them, I think.
Right? Absolutely. I'm trying to look at some of these more. It gets ugly real quick in these running backs. I imagine if you don't have a lot of the guys we just talked about, you're probably pivoting to wide receivers. Actually, before we do, I asked Nick on the start sit question. I just want to hurt some feelings. I just want to hurt some feelings right now. You're in an 8-team league, okay? So a little different. Okay. You're in an 8-team league. Who are you starting this week? Cam Scadabo or Saquon Barkley?
See, you're setting me up, because as a Giants fan, no matter what I say, it's going to be the wrong answer.
That. I forget but about that.
I think the answer is pretty easily Cam Scadabo. Like, and full disclosure, I'm not one of those Giants fans that was ever mad at Saquon Barkley. I would never pull for the Eagles, but I was pulling for Saquon Barkley last year. He deserved that Super Bowl. He gave everything to New York, and it just, that's here nor there. But man, he's just, and it's why I avoided him this year. Like, this was the worst case scenario. And I wrote in my start sits column this week for both Saquon and Derrick Henry. If you have either one of those guys, you're stuck. They're not playing bad enough to bench them. You're not going to trade them. You're stuck starting them, you know, you spent the draft capital needing a high end RB1, you know, expecting those 20 point games, and you're getting a middling RB2. And so am I on the right, even though people are going to say I'm a scorned Giants fan. I would go with Scatterbo.
I would too. Granted, Saquon has not performed as he should. Half PPR, 18.4 is the highest he's gotten. He hasn't been in the top 10 yet. But I think this is more just me trying to give Scatterbo his flowers. Like, you're following it up, you keep going with it. He is a wrecking ball.
He's something else. He's him and Jackson Dart. It's been the first time in probably a decade that it's been fun to be a Giants fan watching those guys on the field, because it's been pretty ugly.
It's been bitter. I'm excited for the franchise too. You know, like, I like rooting for, as a Colts fan, you know, I've got my team, but I like rooting. Like, I loved rooting for, you know, the Falcons for the longest time. The Bengals, yeah, before they had Joe Burrow, I always liked to root for them. The Lions, but up until, you know, like, I like to give these teams.
Everybody wanted to see the Lions win it. Like, if it wasn't, I think I tweeted it out, if your team gets eliminated from the playoffs, we're all cheering for the Lions, right? Unless you're in the NFC North, obviously, but everybody was pulling for them. I get completely what you're saying. The same thing, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Eternally rooting for the Browns. Like, yes. I remember in high school, they had like one season where they like started off like, I think, 4-3 or something like that. I was like, oh my gosh, am I finally going to see the Browns eat? And no, it ended real quick.
Yeah, is that the Derek Anderson season? One of those in there? Yeah.
You know, they had the Terrell Pryor magic of a long time ago. Oh, and McConkey just got a deep one. Let's go. Sorry, folks. We're focused. We're locked in here. Back to you. Let's go to some of these wide receiver pivots you might have to go to if you didn't pick up a running back, or it's just ugly. As we get outside, look, the top 24 looks great in the rankings. As we dip into the Khalil Shakirs, the Romeo Doubs, the Wandales, the Shaheeds, the Matthew Goldens, are there any players here in these wide receiver threes that you really like, that you're willing to take more shots on? For instance, I like Troy Franklin. I like Troy Franklin in this shootout against Dallas. Bo Nix hasn't been great with the deep ball, but Dallas loves giving up points over the top. So I'm willing to take a shot on him over some of these other running backs that we just spoke of. Anybody that's really jumping out at you in that wide receiver three group?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a caveat here. It depends. Lamar Jackson has to suit up. If Lamar Jackson suits up, I like Rashad Bateman. I think he's worth the shot. Against the Bears. The Bears have given up a lot of deep passing touchdowns, five passing touchdowns of 20 or more yards, and opposing teams have a 55% completion rate on pass attempts over 20 plus yards. So when you're starting these guys, the Batemans, the JMOs, those types, it's like we said earlier, it's you're hoping for a big play, and Chicago's giving up a pretty significant amount of big plays. So I think that if you're stuck starting one of these guys, don't take it, you know, don't throw somebody in there that's going to get, you know, yeah, you're going to get 8 points, but what's that really going to do for you? Take the shot on the upside.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I feel with that. Like, if anybody has a chance to break a big one here, I feel like it's him for me. Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne. We've got Mac Jones that looks like he's getting the start this week. Are you looking at either one of them, or is this another like fade situation for you?
Yeah, I think it's a full fade situation. I feel like Mac Jones' deal with the devil for a couple of good starts is done. He's been decent enough, but the Texans are the best team against quarterbacks in fantasy. It's the worst matchup for him possible. The Texans defense, I should say. It's not like the Texans are going to put up points to make them, you know, make the 49ers push the ball down the field. So I just, honestly, Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle are the only guys that I have any interest on the offensive side of the ball for the 49ers. And honestly, if you have, you started them if you did, but if you had a Gadsden, if you had somebody, like, I don't mind benching Kittle until, like, I ranked him as a tight end one, but I have no issues if you want to see it on the field before you get him back in your lineup.
I've got no – give me Kittle. Give me Kittle. You've been waiting for it. You probably need him if he's been on IR. I'm willing to put him right back out there. I was actually about to ask you about Dalton Schultz. Maybe it's National Tight End Week that's getting me all hot and bothered, but with Nico Collins most likely missing this game, you know, concussion on Monday, it's going to be hard for him to turn around. And majority of these guys miss at least 1 week with a concussion. So 10 targets last week, 9 receptions, 98 yards. It's not sexy, folks. This is an unsexy I give Kate Otten a lot of crap on this show often. I'd play Kate Otten over Schultz, but, like, I'd probably play Schultz over... I'd play him over Keon Coleman, for sure. I'd play him over Matthew Golden. Like, I mean, Matthew Golden
only,
or
the only thing
or
with
Dobbs.
Golden is Dontavian Wicks is out this week, isn't he?
Yeah, but Christian Watson's coming back, baby.
Oh,
it's Christian
I did not know
Watson
that.
Season.
Oh, that changes that answer.
Let me double-check that a little bit.
I know,
but
while you do that, yeah, I like Schultz. I have him as a streamer this week. And like you said, coming off 10 targets, it's back-to-back weeks of 10-plus fantasy points. Like, when you're picking up these tight ends, that's your best-case scenario. And, you know, the situation is there for him. I'm with you. And honestly, what I said too, I do have to amend something. I said I wouldn't mind if, you know, you wanted to wait and on Kittle. I take that back because it is – Sunday is National Tight End Day, and there is no way on God's green earth that you bench George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. So
yeah,
I take that
it may
back.
Be
I apologize
all tight ends,
Mr. Kittle.
Yeah, it may be all tight ends that we're celebrating, but it starts with George Kittle on National Tight End Day. I'm willing to go down with that ship there. Wandale Robinson or Darius Slayton, do either one of these guys interest you? Or are you willing to put them out there against Philly this week?
Yeah, Wandale. I really have no interest in Slayton. He's a poor man's version of the Batemans and the JMOs, and he'll have a game here or there once a year, but not enough to make it worth starting him. Wandale has gotten, I mean, the target share even before. Before Malik Nabers went down, Wandale was involved in this offense, and I think he had a second best game of the season against the Eagles a couple weeks ago. Like, I know you can't, you know, it's not like, oh well, he had 20 points against them 2 weeks ago, he's gonna have 20 points again. But I mean, you can't pass up the volume that he's getting on this offense, and it's what back-to-back games with 6 targets, and he's averaging nearly 9 targets a game since Malik Nabers went down. Like, he's not, I wouldn't say, you know, he's not elite or anything, but he's pretty close to must-start status in PPR leagues based on that volume.
Averaging about 89 yards over the last 2 weeks. I mean, you know, a small sample size, but that's the small size sample size we have with Jackson Dart over the last few weeks. Exactly. So I'm willing to go to that. I think that their Eagles should take care of business. This should be a 14 to 17 point win for them. It's at home. They were embarrassed 2 weeks ago, but that's not always a bad thing. That means garbage time, folks. And we love garbage time here. So, I'd be willing to go to that one. Kayshon Booty, hot and cold. Horrible matchup against Cleveland as far as the run game. Or is he making your lineup this week pretty easily?
Nah, I'd prefer it. Diggs is the only pass catcher on that team that I'm. Would you in for some booty?
I think I'd shoot my shot at some booty this week. Bipocalypse, okay. Wild stuff, high upside. I think I'd take that shot. Nice. Let me see a few of these others. And look, folks, I've been hyping up Christian Watson. That's just fun for me. I love me a fast receiver and especially a tall guy. I got a thing for them tall fellas, you know. Call me.
Who doesn't, honestly?
but yeah, it's more of a wait and see. But it's what I think this offense can turn into. But again, it can take up to a month for these ACL guys to ramp up.
And we've seen it. You know, he's got the connection with Jordan Love. It's not like it's you know, a new receiver in a new situation. It's a team desperate for a big play receiver. I like it. I think is he going to be active this week or? Is he?
It looks like it. Limited in practice. Cool. He's been practicing for a couple of weeks, so I think they either have to activate him this week or next week.
Okay.
Last wide receiver I've got a question about. Or I guess two. I've got questions about Tez Johnson. You put him in your lineup this one. Week.
I'm only answering one question.
Well, cool, because you don't want to answer this one. Xavier Leggett, 9 catches last week. First 3 targets, the most he's ever had in his career, was last week. We got the red rifle coming back out of the tool shed there. Are you doing it?
Oh, man.
Xavier Leggett or...
You said Tez?
Rashard Smith.
I'm going for Rashard Smith.
Xavier Leggett or Tony Pollard?
I would start you over Tony Pollard. Not lying.
Hey, I'm a 6'5 target. I may not be able to catch every single one of them, but you throw enough at me. I'm Darnell Washington. That's what I am.
But just go, be in the red zone. Just, throw a jump ball, which getting off topic here, but I never understood why the Falcons didn't just throw jump balls to Julio Jones every single time they were in the red zone. They never did it, and it would drive me crazy.
He was allergic to the end zone. Remember, he had those allergies. Benadryl's made him sleepy, just wasn't allowed to score. God.
It's really sad.
Colston Loveland. Let's go to these tight ends here to finish it up. It is National Tight End Week. Cole Kmet might be missing this game. It is a no Cole Kmet for you. We're not at that point.
No, Colston Loveland, you mean? He's somebody that I want. I think is worth rostering, but he's just done nothing, and it's not some. That's not a situation that I'm wanting to be a part of at this point in time at tight end. There's so many guys who like the Schultzes, like the these guys who are getting some decent target volume, and there's so many weapons in Chicago, so many different places that it can go. I think he should be rostered in pretty much every league, but I'm not comfortable starting him.
I don't know if I'm comfortable. Maybe this is just the DFS feelings coming out of me, but if there was a game that we could see him, Cole Kmet being out playing the Baltimore Ravens. But again, I've got him closer to 20 than I do 10. As far as we've got David Njoku coming back, does the fear for Fannin kick up a little bit, or are you still willing to put him out there?
I think Fannin is the guy. I know they've kind of went back and forth, but I mean, you can see it on the field. And Njoku, is he a free agent after this year? Yeah. I know there's been trade rumors. Yeah. Like, this team is not in win now mode. They're in, let's get these young guys some run. And I think they're of any pass catchers on the Browns, it's only the tight ends that I'm interested in. And Fannin he can do a lot more with a lot less. He can have a Gadsden explosive play where, Gabriel uses his noodle arm to throw the ball 3 yards and he's got the explosiveness to turn that into something.
I like it. Last guy I have a question for you is Mason Taylor. Tyrod's going to be starting. Still no Garrett Wilson. I don't think I want to do it. I don't think I want to.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see he bounced back. What? He had 5 targets after just getting 1 2 weeks ago. But the Bengals, I'm pretty sure, double check me on this, but I think they are allowing the most fantasy points to tight ends.
Granted, they bleed points all over the place, but right. Yes, they hemorrhage them to the tight end position.
Exactly. I think
I could see it working out, but
I think I'd start Taylor over Loveland. What do you think?
I might take the shot on Loveland just on the athletic prowess and the fact that he is the rookie, high draft capital. Maybe this would be the opportunity that Ben Johnson gets him involved. But I think it's more one of those things that I think he has a chance to, he could get you 60, 70 yards and a touchdown. Whereas Mason Taylor, what is his upside? 5 catches, 45 yards. So I think I'd be willing to miss out on what Taylor could give you on taking my shot on somebody like him.
I think that's fair. I think that's.
Am I getting crazy? I'm getting crazy now, folks. Watch.
I call that grouping the tight end glob. You guys, it's just those guys that actually. Oh, what's funny? I didn't even realize it. I wrote that in the article for the first time this week, and the first esteemed member of the glob Noah Fant. And the way I explained it is it's these guys that you're going to get 3 to 5 targets, 2 to 4 catches, 40-ish yards, and you'll get double digits if they fall in the end zone. That's what these guys are. And I think you make a great point. I think that Taylor's upside is slightly above the glob, but not much. And I think if you're taking that shot, I think you made a good call with saying, you know, you want the dollar scratcher that, you know, you could win $1 million, or you want the five that you can double your money.
Another little crazy line here. I'm going to have Travis Kelce in that gross blob, though.
I think it's fair, especially when she likes that.
I take my shot on the Kate Ottens. Mark Andrews, I got a gut feeling with him. He's not a player I want to play anymore. Every now and then you just get that feeling. Him, Evan Ingram, even possibly. He's had 6 targets, I believe, over the last 4 games playing Dallas. Yeah.
I like Evan Ingram a lot. My home league, I have Trey McBride, and I initially picked up Hunter Henry to start, and then I dropped Hunter Henry to pick up Evan Ingram. How many games in a row? Is it 3 or 4 games with 6 targets at least for Evan Ingram, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, I believe his last month, he's finally, you know, that injury kind of hampered him coming into the beginning of the season.
Past 4 games, yeah.
Yeah, 8, 6, 6, and 7 since he came back from the injury. So,
yep. 4 catches over with it, but. Yeah, but hey, right, exactly. And like we talked about, if you're shooting for the opportunity, give me the guys in the game that is expected to go over 50 points.
Absolutely. Jay, that's all I got for you. You got anything else for the people?
No, I actually, I do have to say, I told you I was only answering one more question, and then I didn't live up to that. So I'm sorry for lying.
Next time, folks, we'll clean that up for you. This bipocalypse, so it's got us all tilting.
It messes with you, man.
I'm flexing tight ends. Like, that's how wild it is. If you're looking for more of us, make sure you're all over the website, QBList.com. We have so much on there as far as the articles, podcasts. We're dropping 4 to 5 episodes to you a week. Jay, what else can they find from you? Where can they find all that?
Yeah, so it usually comes out about mid-morning on Monday, the Sunday Best Podcast, which I actually changed up the format a little bit this week, and I think I'm going to stick with it. I had been picking 3 games and hitting each position and then going through a quick hitters, just kind of hitting some of the big stories around the league. I scrapped the 3 games thing, and I'm just hitting 15 to 20-ish players. I feel like that way, a little more freedom to make sure that I hit the biggest stories. It's not going to be every player. It's not going to be every game, but the biggest impact of the Sunday games in 20 minutes or less.
Nice. Folks, again, QBList.com. That's where you find all the goodness over there. Check out Jay. He's got all the start-sit questions for you, answering all that. Come back to the podcast. We'll be hitting it hard with Monday. Mario's back from his wedding hiatus. Thanks for listening, everybody. Like, subscribe, hit us with comments with any of your questions. We'll see y'all next time.